make 1, 2, 3, 4 columns. And if you don't have nothing to write with, in your bulletin there is a little space where you can take notes. It's not much, but it's a little space. I would like you to make 4 columns. And the header is called The Worshipper's Life. The header is called The Worshipper's Life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, that the hearts of your people are prepared to receive the engrafted word that is able to save them through and through from every circumstance or situation that they will ever face. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we, with our eyes we see well, with our ears we hear well, and with our hearts we will do well. All your will, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that your word is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our pathway. It will lead, guide, and direct us and show us the way that we should go. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we're ever growing and we are coming into the knowledge of the truth, and the evidence of that truth is how we live. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that the word will pierce through the heart of every believer. Lord God, that they will be changed and transformed by your spirit in their inner man. That the evidence of your grace will be on their lives in every area. Physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, God, for the gift of the teacher operating in this place and in my life and in my heart, even right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I just, Leticia just toured a church on Wednesday night. Yes, how many of y'all was with you? My twin toured a house. I said, see, what you going to do those for? I can't follow that act out in the world. That was deep. That was so good. We were just meditating. She was supposed to go home, but we started talking and praying. Didn't we, Pastor Larry? We just continued. After the service was over, we just continued the service. And we prayed and meditated in the word and opened up the word at even all the way up to 2 o'clock in the morning. And I said, well, you might as well stay now. So I said, I'm going to go sleep and get you some pajamas and a toothbrush. You might as well just spend the night. And I got some clothes for you to wear. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, God. I got something for you to put on. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. And so we just stayed. And I tell you, there was a Romanian pastor that was in our home on Thursday. And he was going through, the Lord just ministered by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I can feel the anointing, not just in us, but in the room that we were in. And I tell you, when it was all said and done, I said to the Lord, all the people of the earth, even now, all the people of the earth, they're groaning and yearning for something, and that something is him. And those who have him aren't satisfied with the him that they have. They want more. They want a deeper and a more intimate relationship with the Father. And those who don't know him, they're seeking. But, you know, they may be in the wrong place, and it's our prayers. That's why it's so important for us to intercede for the lost. The Bible commands us to pray for the lost. And our prayers, this is what our prayers does. Our prayers take the feet of those that are lost and out of the way and pushes it on the path where they can hear the gospel. Because they won't ever be saved without hearing. They say, how can a man hear without a preacher? Huh? Do you notice that the preacher isn't one of the fivefold ministry gifts? Because the preacher is to preach means to what? Proclaim the gospel, and that is the responsibility of every minister. How many of you in here are ministers? Every last one of us. We're all called to be ministers of reconciliation. And so in every opportunity that you get as a minister, you are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know the traditional rudiments of Christianity. I mean the traditional, I'm talking about man's tradition. I'm talking about I'm talking about man's traditions. The secular tradition of Christianity has taught us that in order for you to be a minister, you got to go to Bible school, you got to do this, that, and the other, you got to be perfect, and you got to cross all your I's and dot all your T's and do that, and then you stand up and you get your certificate, and then you get your collar and all that. The devil is a liar. Amen. That is not it. That is not what the word says. He says, we've called us all to be ministers of reconciliation. When you come into the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you become a minister. I don't care if you were saved for 5 minutes, or I don't care if you were saved for 5 years. You are a minister, because guess what? When you get saved, you go, oh, I just gave my life to the Lord, and I'm a brand new creature. Do you want to be saved too? There you are. You are a minister, and you don't know what you're doing or what you're saying, but look, you know, how many of you, when you got saved, you were so excited? Yeah. You were on fire from God. You know, your head from your foot. Didn't know, you know, Genesis, Revelation, all you knew is that you had an experience and you had an encounter with God, and you were happy, and you wanted to share with everybody that you knew. You wanted them to be saved, but what? Oh, I got me some fire insurance. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus when he comes back. And I don't know how to do everything right, but all I know is that God is now my Father. I am no longer a servant of the devil. Yeah. I serve Jesus. I love him. I don't know what all that is and what that means, but I'm excited. Amen. See, you become a minister and you want to share with someone. Somebody, you may not even be all that excited. You may be excited inside and not show up, but somebody can see a difference. They're like, you know what? Something is different about you. And there you are. There you go. And then you get to preach. Preach means to do what? Proclaim. Preach means to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're all called to do, to proclaim the gospel. We're all preachers. Huh? Somebody say, preach, preacher.
Preach, preacher.
Every opportunity that you get, you can share the love of Jesus. Somebody can say, boo, and you can go, yup, I'm not afraid of the dark, because Jesus watches over my heart, and I am sure that I'm safe in his heart. I'm safe and harm here within his loving arms. I'm not afraid of the dark. I mean, you know, just anything. Somebody can say boo, somebody can go, yup, go, yup, yes, he is. He's a good guy. Somebody go good, and you can go God. And then start preaching. I mean, you go God. Huh? Be creative, amen?
Amen.
And your witness in evangelism, amen?
Amen?
We're all called to be ministers of reconciliation, but we're required to live a life that is holy and pleasing to the Lord. How can we share the gospel with others if we're jacked up, if we're living lives that are different from what we're proclaiming? That doesn't work. That's not it, is it? So the scripture says, So the scripture says in John 4:23, I put it on the front page of your bulletin. You don't even have to look it up. It says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is your homework for the week. John 4:23-24. I want you to brood over this. Brood over it. Anybody know what it means to brood? You know what it means to brood over it? No, meditate is meditate. Brood is something else. What's brood, huh? Just park your car, huh? Park your car and hover over to something happen. Huh? Because sometimes we read the scripture and we'll meditate on it just for the sake of memorizing it and knowing it. But brooding over it means that you just park in your car right there and you're going to stay right there, huh? You stay right there until something happens,
yes,
huh?
Yes.
You park your car in the gas station until it gets filled up and then you can take off. Why? Because that word has become, you become one with that word. Because you've meditated in it, Ebony, you've meditated in it long enough to get an understanding, to get revelation, right? And what does revelation do? Come on, Haley's house.
Brings you into an encounter
That's right. Revelation brings you into an encounter. I only have one student, but anyway. Revelation brings you into an encounter with Jesus. That's what Revelation does. It opens up. It brings you into an encounter. Oh, because guess what? You can't do what you don't know, can you? And so, and every time you know something and you start doing it, then you're encountering Jesus. Because Jesus is what? The Word. Huh? Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1, verse 12. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? See, because Revelation, now you can do what you know. Because that encounter brings you into, that Revelation brings you into a know, an encounter with Jesus, and then you're able to do what the Word that you just read, said. Amen? You can do it. Amen? You can do the Word. So the Scripture says, when Jesus is talking, he said, but the hour cometh and now is. That means that the hour is coming. It's here now. So when is the hour?
Yeah.
It's right here, right now, today. What time is it? Somebody pull out your iPhone. What time? It's 12:18 p.m. That's right. It was the people that Android or Apple. Apple phone was always right. I don't know about the Android. I'm so sorry. Everybody laughing. He wasn't laughing. People like it. Jesus, be like, talk about Apple, everybody grin. Okay, we'll figure that out later. But anyway, so what time is it? 12:19 p.m. on Sunday, June the 25th. He said, the hour has come and it's here. Somebody say, right now.
Right now.
Here today.
Here today.
For me. He said, that's right. Right now. The hour is here. Right now with true worshipers. When true worshipers. Amen. How many of you are true worshipers?
Yes.
Are you a true worshiper?
Yes.
Are you a true worshiper?
Yes.
Someone said, well, I think I am. I'm not sure. But I think I am. I believe I am. And even if I'm not sure, and if I think I am, I want to be. Is that you? I see. So that way, I just covered all the bases. Amen? I just covered all. So I didn't leave anybody out, did I? Unless somebody said they don't want to be, and then the spirit of slap will come on me. I go, you don't lost your mind. What? You don't want to be a true worshiper. Everybody in here want to be a true worshiper, right? True worshiper. Everybody would be a true worshiper. And so let's talk about what a true worshiper is, right? So did you make your four columns?
Yes.
I'm going to go through this real quick. We got camp tomorrow. We got camp staff meeting after church. And we need some food on the grill, so we're going to be eating all that stuff. So, but anyway. So in your four columns, I want you to write, in one column, I want you to write living. Somebody say living.
Living.
In the next column, I want you to put giving. Somebody say giving.
Giving.
I want you to put loving. Somebody say loving.
Loving.
I want you to put serving. Somebody say serving.
Serving.
Living, giving, loving, serving. And I'm not saying that that's all it is. I'm just saying that those are, the main ones that I came up with. If you come up with some more, please just raise your hand and give them to me, and we can, we can add those too. I'm not perfect, and I know I don't have all the answers. We all do, amen?
Amen.
And now this is the interactive church. This is the interactive congregation. You know why that is? Because the apostles, the prophets, and the pastors don't have all the answers.
Amen.
The wisdom of God is widely dispersed, right?
Amen.
And the scripture says, how be it when we come together, one has a what?
Every one of us
has a what?
Word.
A word, a song. That's right. I don't know everything. Matter of fact, I don't know nothing except Jesus and him crucified. I don't know nothing. I don't claim to know nothing. Except the knowledge that the Spirit gives me for the hour. And guess what? The knowledge that I have today may not benefit me tomorrow. And so we live from what? From faith to faith and from glory to glory. And we're ever learning. So if you think you know everything, if you think you already know everything, you can never be learning, right? And if you're not learning, you can't grow, right? But we have to grow. We have to come to perfection. Perfection is growth. It's maturity. And we have to mature. Have you ever seen somebody just, you know, people just act so deep and sanctified, they got all like holy garb on, and then you ask them a question, they have to get back to you next week because they don't know. It's like, well, you pull on the grace of God that is on the inside of you. Come on, you know, but you're all deep and everything. Come on now. You know, come on. So, okay, well, let's sit down and figure it out together. You got your Bible? You know, that's what we're going to, because that's the only, you know, we keep our opinions to ourselves, right? Keep our opinions to ourselves. Reserve our opinions for, you know, I don't know what we reserve it for, huh? Yeah, that's what I said. I don't got no opinion. That's right. And it's good not to have one. Because even if you have opinions, you can't, you know, it's better to keep it to yourself. So, but you got to keep it to yourself. You got to keep it to yourself in the sense that you have it, right? I like it into love, you know. If you gotta keep the love to yourself, then what's the sense in having love?
Right.
Love is love until you've given it away, huh?
Amen.
That's just like love. It's to be given away. Amen. You know, amen. And so you got your four columns. Now, in the column about living, I want you to write down Colossians chapter 1. Let's go there. Let's just turn. You have your Bibles. I know you have your Bibles. Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians 1. I just want to show you something. And I'm sure I can go. I got a whole bunch, but we're just going to just focus on this one because it just kind of like hits the nail on the head. It does it for me anyway. And I believe it'll do the same for you. We got the same spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Colossians chapter 1 is right before Thessalonians. The teacher says the T books, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. But it's right before the 1 Thessalonians. Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, if you look at Paul is praying for this local fellowship, and he said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Can we all read that together? Verse number 9. He said, for this cause
we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Mm-hmm. Park right there. Wait a minute. We're going to go to verse 10, but I just want to park in verse 9 for a second. This is a powerful verse for you to pray over yourself every day. You know that, right? And so you do it like this. I mean, well, you can do it any way you want, but I'm just saying. You can do it. You can say, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for filling me with the knowledge of your will so that I may do it, Lord. And that, Lord God, in all wisdom, that I may understand. See, you can't do the will of God without wisdom.
Amen.
The wisdom that comes from God. Wisdom is like the smarts with the anointing on it. Okay, that's what, you know, that's what this wisdom is. It's like having the brains with all the oil on it. Leticia and I, we were talking about somebody was telling us about this new album that came out, and the hit song, you know, they keep playing it on the radio, and somebody had asked us about it, and Leticia said, ain't got no oil on it. I said, But anyway, so they don't have no oil on it. See, but see, oil, that means it has a nice beat and it has a nice sound, but it doesn't do anything for the spirit. All it does is move your flesh, you know. And so it has no oil on it. And so does it convict you? Does it convert you when you're singing it? Does it say, woo? Does it cause you to go, you know? When you listen to the words and your heart just begins to just, you know, just start doing flip-flops, you know? And see, that's what don't have no oil on it. See, that's, you know, wisdom is just having knowledge with oil on it. That's what it is. You know, say, God, give me wisdom. You know, pour your anointing on me so that I will know how to do your will. I might know what your will is, but I need the wisdom to know how to walk it out every single day. I need to know how to walk out your will every single day. I want to know what your will is, God. I want to know how to walk it out every day because every day is different.
Yes, ma'am.
Huh? Well, God called me to be a pastor and a minister. Oh, that's wonderful. God called me to be a prophet or an evangelist. That's wonderful, too. But what does the evangelist look like in Wegmans? You know, right. In the fruit section, right. When somebody is standing there being decisive, you know, and, you know, or going through something, you can just see it all over them, you know. What does wisdom, the wisdom of God, tell you to say to that person?
Right.
What does the wisdom of God look like in the doctor's office when you've gotten a diagnosis and you're like, the fiery doctor's coming towards you saying, accept it and listen and do whatever they tell you to do and say, no, I'm going to give me a second opinion. You know, and I'm saying, you know, that's what I always say when they start saying, anytime they say something to me, I say, excuse you, I'm going to get a second opinion. I'm going to another doctor.
Amen.
I'm going to Jehovah Rapha to get me. What's his name? Jehovah Rapha. I'm going to get a second opinion. This is a prayer that you have to pray. Pray over your life, amen. So that the knowledge of his will and all the wisdom and spiritual understanding, God give me understanding. I don't just want understanding in the natural. See, because understanding in the natural, my GPS tells me to turn right at the light. But understanding in the spiritual, God said, no, the Holy Spirit will go, no, don't turn left. Just keep going straight. Huh? You heard that testimony. I was in Henderson. I was in Las Vegas, Nevada, going on a call, going to an appointment, and I didn't know where I was going, and I was, you know, I had the directions, and the directions told me to turn left at the signal. But the Holy Spirit said, no, don't turn left. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like, and when I got up to the light, I looked left, but I kept going straight. And I got down three blocks later, and I heard an explosion. The explosion was on the street that I was turning.
Right.
It was a gas main explosion, and it was right down the street where I was going. And it was in a building next to the building that I was supposed to go to. So I never got to go to the appointment because they blocked off the whole street. And the fire trucks and everybody was there. And it was a lot of chaos and pandemonium. As a matter of fact, we couldn't get down that street for a couple of weeks. It was a while before they even got everything back to order. See, so you don't just want natural understanding. You want spiritual understanding about how to maneuver in this life.
Yeah.
So this is how you pray. Somebody say living. So this is under living, right? So you understanding this? Colossians 1, 9 and 10. And so, see, this is what I'm talking about, living. The life of a worshiper. And see, worshiping, do you know worship is a part of our obedience? You know, it's the highest kind of faith is what? The highest kind of prayer is what? Worship. Worship is the highest kind of prayer. Because guess what? Because when you pray till you pray through, as the saints would say, pray till you get a breakthrough. And then what you do after you get a breakthrough, you start to sing, huh? You start to rejoice right in your prayer closet, huh? Right in the soaking room, a song of the Lord will come forth. Why? Because God has filled you with everything that you have need of to be victorious. And your spirit recognized it and it's saying thank you. Huh?
Yes.
Your spirit recognized the answer in the spirit and is saying, thank you, Lord. So a song of Zion comes out. Huh? And so that's why you don't just want natural understanding.
Amen.
You want spiritual understanding. Amen?
Amen?
So it says, verse 10, that ye might walk what? Worthy of the Lord. Oh, my God. That's it. You're not living. Somebody say this with me. You're not living.
You're not living.
If you're not walking worthy of the Lord.
If you're not walking worthy of the Lord.
You're not living. You're dead. You're dead.
That's right.
You're not alive in Christ if you're not walking worthy of the Lord. If you're in sin, if you're doing everything you're big enough to do and everything your flesh is telling you, you're not living. You're not living. That's not a true worshiper. But the scripture tells us and commands us, it says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto what?
Oh,
unto
man.
All pleasing. You want to please the Lord? God, I want to please you. You know what? Even if you don't know how, do you know the Holy Spirit will show
Yes.
He's your master teacher.
Yes.
You know, the scripture, some people say, oh, well, you know, they read the scripture, well, you have no need that man should teach you anything. But doesn't the scripture say that? It does say that. But some people take one scripture and make a doctrine out of it. You know, and that's not how it works. Right, Pastor? Right. It don't work like that. You got to take it in context. Jesus is your master teacher. So everything that I'm teaching you today that you don't get or understand, the Holy Spirit will perfect.
Yes.
He'll make you, if you meditate in it and your heart is to do it, you'll be driving home today and he'll open that thing right up. You'll be like, whoa, get out of Dodge. I see, says the blind man. I got it. Huh?
Amen.
See, that's the master teacher, huh? Blowing on what you received in your spirit. Taking the cobwebs off of it.
Yeah.
Opening it up, illuminating it so that you're able to walk in it and perfect that which concerns you, right, man? So that you'll be able to perfect it. So he says, look, so the scripture says that you might walk worthy unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Do you know that if you're not bearing fruit in the things that you're doing, then you might wonder if what you're doing is pleasing the Lord, because everything that pleases the Lord bears fruit.
Yeah.
It bears fruit. I don't know about you, but I like results.
Amen.
I was cleaning and mopping and doing some things, you know, around the house and getting some things ready. At the end of the day, it was about 1 o'clock this morning, but I looked at it and I said, okay, we good, you know. I want to see what I did. How about you? I want to see the fruit of my labor. And look around and everything looked the same. You're like, are you serious? Come on. Don't look like I did nothing. You know what I'm saying? You want fruit. Huh? We're fruit producers. Everybody said, I'm a fruit producer. That's what we are. We produce fruit. And so when our lives please the Lord, we bear fruit.
Amen.
We produce fruit. And we're fruitful in every good work. We're not just, how would you like to work and you don't see any results? That's disappointing, isn't it? And after a while, you get discouraged. And then you don't want to do it anymore because you don't see any fruit from it. Well, you might want to see, is it pleasing to the Lord? Because everything that pleases God bears fruit.
Amen.
Amen. It bears fruit. And guess what? The fruit is good. It's sweet. Juice be dripping, running all day in that water. Good fruit. Amen.
Amen.
Good God. Hallelujah. Amen. And every good work. And what? And increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, guess what? Do you see the progression of the Word of God? Do you know the kingdom of God is a progressive kingdom?
Yes.
It's always progressing. And you see right here in the Word, and you just see the progression of the anointing and the manifestation of the presence of God on your life when you're doing His work. And it's so evident here in the scripture. It says that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, what? And increasing in the knowledge of God. But guess what? You just pray that ye might be filled with the knowledge. But guess what? Even the knowledge that you have is not good enough to take. That's good enough for today. That manner was just for today. You need some for tomorrow, so you need that knowledge to continue to increase.
Amen.
And guess what? The higher you go, the more knowledge you need. Huh? The higher heights and the deeper depths you go, because you're on spiritual level. And so you need more spiritual knowledge.
Yeah.
Huh? Dealing with things in your mind and the lives of those who you're serving. Amen?
Amen.
You understand that? Isn't that good for you?
Yeah.
So this is how we live. So I put this, I told you to put this under your column for living. And under that, you can write under your column where it says living. You can put being filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Lord, that said, I'm walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and I'm fruitful in every good work, and I'm increasing in knowledge. And so this is how you ought to be living. These are the elements that should be found and be profound in your life. Amen. Pray these things over yourself. Speak them over yourself. I'm telling you something, because guess what? The word has power in it, doesn't it? So guess what? You're saying, well, I don't know how that's going to work out. Don't worry, just do it. Huh? Don't worry how it's going, because the word is quick and it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing, the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. So when you're speaking the word, it's powerful. It's cutting out everything that's not like you, and it's putting in its, in its, in its, doing surgery and mending everything that should be there. Amen. And making it more like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Somebody say living. This is how we live, church. Amen. As true worshipers. So then he said that you were walking pleasing unto the Lord, so you got that bearing fruit and every good work and increasing the knowledge. I'm strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Because everything doesn't just happen just because you're speaking it. You got to be patient, amen? Connect patience to your faith, amen? You know, and suffer long with things. Don't give up so easily. Huh? Don't be a quitter, because quitters never win. Huh?
Amen.
Winners never quit,
yes. And
quitters never win. Come on now. Come on, church.
Amen.
Don't give up so easily. Don't get mad. Take your wig off. Throw it on the dresser, huh? And give up. Hold on. The saints of old, they said, hold on. Hold on to God. How you doing, daughter Zion? I'm doing good. Well, hold on. Hold on. You hold on? Well, keep holding on. That's the saint. That's old school. Something of another. Some of them are done about that. But anyhow, we can teach them, right? Can we, Pastor?
Amen.
So you hold on, well, keep holding on. In other words, suffer along with joyfulness. Don't look like, you know what bothers me, and it just irritates me to no end, to see the people of God who are so blessed with no joy. Where's your joy at? Why are you acting like that? What you doing that for? Right, Jeremiah? Where's Jeremiah? Right, Jeremiah? Oh, the kid's supposed to be downstairs. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. Y'all go ahead. Mercy. And you didn't say that.
Who am I
starting? Oh, my goodness. It's okay. Sorry, the children didn't go. Where's she going? Shut up. Because they ain't trying to hear. They don't know what that is. Oh, my goodness. No help. Say something. Oh my God. All these layers that ain't come on with when I walked over here. Come on. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
Thank you,
y'all.
Huh?
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
amen. Thank you, Jesus. So you got your column, right? So is that enough to work with? I don't want to overwhelm you. That's enough to work with, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
That's good. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Now, you're going to do your homework? Please do your homework.
Please.
Okay, so you got your columns. Got so it. When you have your test next Sunday, you're going to pass, right? Okay. I'll wrap it here. Okay, next is giving. I want you to write down three scriptures. Luke 6:38, Exodus 35:4. I'm sorry. Luke 6:38. I don't have a lot of time. I don't want nobody to get up and walk out because they got to go. I want to preach the whole message. What time is it?
Luke 6:41.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Luke 6:41.
Android. Oh, my goodness.
Don't
matter what he's teased for you, though. Luke 6:38, Exodus 35:4, and 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let's go to Luke.
2 Corinthians 9:7.
Yes, and actually, we're gonna go to Luke first, and then we're gonna go to 2 Corinthians, and we're gonna go Exodus 35 last, because there's something I want to show. I got a point. There's a certain point I'm trying to make for you. So Luke chapter 6, 38, which is very simple. You already know it, right? But I know you know it, but I just want to show you something. So this is under your giving column, okay? Luke chapter 6. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So, I know I said that was like the main verse, but I want to back up to verse 30. Now, I'm going to go to verse 30. Okay, are you there? You with me?
Yes.
So we can read it together, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's read it together. If it was all of that to you that you had to steal it, then bless your heart, God. That's how and pray for them. If it was so bad that they had to have it, that they had to steal it from you, then just pray for them. Just say this. Don't just say, I know you don't. What? Them have it. It is well. And see, it shouldn't hurt us so bad anyway, because we shouldn't be attached to anything or anyone. I will go deep here, but some of y'all can handle it. And it's not the appropriate hour. But anyway, it's an hour for it. It's a marriage of V1. We'll save it for that. Y'all remind me, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Then y'all, I will. He will, too. That's the way to remember you. But anyway, so here we are. So it says the Word of God is telling us to ask not again. We shouldn't be so attached and idolizing no man or no thing, so that when we lose it or it's taken from us, we're devastated.
Yeah.
We should be the only thing we should be devastated about is when we go to hell.
Right.
That's it. Everything else, crying because it might hurt, you know, because we're human, right?
Right.
Well, blow your nose, wash your face, and let's move on.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
So we're allowed to be disappointed for how long? Five minutes. We're allowed to be upset for 5 minutes. That's it. That's it. You don't want to park there.
That's right.
You don't want to be in that disappointment for so long that, you know, that all those disappointing thoughts are in your mind and they're festering there. And guess where they go? Down into your heart. And then you become bitter. And you become angry. And then you become vengeful. Now you want revenge because you didn't let go of that thing. You know, so I don't care if somebody takes something from you or whatever and says, look, if it's all that, hey, don't knock yourself out, whatever. Whatever. If it's something that you like so much and you got to cry about it, go ahead and cry. It's all right. It's okay to cry. Go ahead, cry on. God understands your tears, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Chris?
Yep.
He understands
yep.
your tears, right?
Yep.
He knows how much you can bear. Mm-hmm. Yep, and your faintest cry, he'll hear.
Yeah.
Right? So it's okay. So cry on. It's all right. But you got 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And what I mean, let me tell you what the 5 minutes means. It doesn't literally mean 5 minutes. It means don't dwell in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's dangerous.
Yeah.
Even when mourning, it's all right to mourn, but if you mourn too long,
right.
you begin to wear, it'll change your countenance, your attitude, you become
yes.
bitter, you become
yes.
angry, you start acting crazy, looking crazy, talking crazy, you know,
yeah.
I mean, come on now, huh? That's why we got more colors than just black. I said, okay, put your glasses on, go ahead, but then change to yellow, do something. You know, work with it, come on, sunshine, you know. Sunshine on a cloudy day, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Amen? It's all right. But let's move on from there, because guess what? God got something for you. There is nothing that anything or anyone can take from you that God won't restore. He won't restore. He is a restorer of the priest. Yes. He's a restorer. He will restore. Look at Job. When God restored Job, he did it so good that Job couldn't even remember what happened. It erased the memory, took away the stench, and took away the pain of what he suffered. He couldn't even remember. That's how God blessed him so good. He couldn't even remember all that he went through. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It's not even worth dwelling on what you got now, huh? What you got now is so good you can't even dwell on what you lost. Hey.
Amen.
Some of y'all missed that. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's okay. Anyhow, let's move on. And so where are we? The next verse, 31. And as ye have what them do unto you, you do likewise. So look. The more you give, the more you have. You know that, right?
Yeah.
That's the principle. The kingdom of God is upside down. The more you give, the more you have.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I remember when I left the corporate world, you know, making a decent salary, you know, was able to do some things that I like to do, you know, but I was all right because Pastor Larry had my back. And then when he gave a pitch up, I said, wait a minute, Jim. Oh, wait a minute. I was like, oh, Lord, have mercy. I was like, you know, okay, we're going to be giving up here. We got to give some. But we didn't lose anything. I know I didn't. It's the beat. I mean, it was like, you know, there are things I like to do. You know, things I like to have. And I know that because neither one of us have a, you know, that flow that was flowing like that. It wasn't, but God made up for it.
Amen.
He said, that's okay.
Amen.
Don't worry about that. He said, you just keep giving your life away. And
that's
what
right.
we did. We gave our lives away. We said, nope, we done rendered unto Caesar what is Caesar. Now we're going to render unto God what is God.
Amen.
We're giving up our lives for the Lord. He said, I'll make sure you don't. If the phone be ringing from the designer consignment shop, and them bags, will designer clothes be coming in here? And I'll be picking up, oh, no, no, that's a size 6. That is all mine. Them Ferragamo 6.5, I will put them on my feet. These tops, I'm telling you, I'm for real. So I'm not missing nothing. And got it for free. He gave it to us. You know, just donating, right?
Amen.
Huh? After I come out today, somebody bought it for me. Thank you, Jesus. You give them a free. I'm not missing nothing. Why? Because I'm getting, how many folks I done clothes up in here? Why do you think I do it? Why do you think I do it? Why do you think I do it? Because God gives me, look, if you always give, you'll always have.
Amen.
This is a principle. Somebody say giving. We're in the giving column, right?
Amen.
Change this. Change your mind.
Amen.
Change your mindset. Pastor Tayo, when he came in January, he kept preaching on these mind blocks.
Yes.
On the mind blocks, because we have mind blocks. We think if we hold on to what we have, we'll always have it. And some of the stuff you have, you don't have it. It has you.
That's right.
Amen.
You don't have it. It has you.
Right.
And that's dangerous. So that means that the thing that you think that you have, you really don't have it. It has you. And guess what it is called? It's called an idol. So that means that the thing that you're holding on to so tight, you don't want nobody to have none, and you trying to keep, it's not yours. That thing has you. You don't have it. It has you, and it's an idol, and it's destroying you.
Yeah.
It's destroying you. It's destroying you. Somebody said giving. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Is there anything that you don't understand about that principle? You're not to hold on to anything. Nothing. You're not to be tied to nothing. No soul ties. No soul ties.
Amen.
No soul ties.
Amen.
Only one you holding on to is Jesus. Let everything and everybody go. I love my husband dearly. I do. But come hell or high water, I'll pick Jesus over him any day of the week and do. And I suggest and urge, hey, said Christine, urge. I mean, it's all right for him to love me, but if he loves me more than Jesus, we got a problem.
Amen.
We have a problem if his love for me is greater than his love for the Lord. We have a serious problem.
Amen.
And I'm definitely going to have a problem with it. Because I'm in trouble, and so is he.
Amen.
Because he's made an idol out of me.
Right.
And it's destroying him, and it's destroying me. Both of us at the same time. See, we can't be that way. It's all right. God tells us to love one another, but keep it in check, huh?
Amen.
I'm not going to give my life for him, I'll give my life for the sake of the gospel. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, I'm not going to lay my life down and do what he want to do and forsake what God told. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
He's not going to do that for me. I'll be better not. Because he'll have the answer to God. So we're giving our lives not to each other, but to the Lord.
Amen.
And as we give it to the Lord, we submit one to another so that we can fulfill all that he's called us to do. Amen?
Amen.
You understand that? Give it. Give it. He says, go over to verse 38. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Do you believe that?
Yes.
How many, I know y'all got like tons and tons of testimony of this scripture. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall he cause. See, let me say this to you. Let me help you out. Let me break it in. season where you just giving and giving and giving and doing and doing and doing and being and being and being. And 12 years go by and you don't see none of the fruit of all your labor. Right?
Amen.
But this is what you must do. You must rejoice because you was doing, who was you doing it for?
The Lord.
Oh, okay. So if you were doing it as unto men to receive something from men, then you already got your reward or didn't get it because they weren't appreciative. But whether they appreciate it or not, you wasn't doing it for them no how. You was just doing, you was just being a true worshiper. And guess what? The word of God says that he has a what? Reward for the true worshiper. See, where this is about true worship.
Amen. Yes, it is.
It doesn't matter.
Amen.
But guess what? God is not retarded, nor is he forgetful of your labor of love. He isn't forgot. So then you get over to America. You're in a country all by yourself. You know, you have no family, no. And the Lord be like, bam, 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 bam. All of that, all of a sudden, it just gets showered on you like rain, like a big rainstorm. Shoo! But guess what? He remembered when you were 11 years old, when you were 12 to 13, how you served faithfully. You was given all that you had and all you didn't have. You were given that too. Everything you can just give, all that you can just do, all that you can be. And God said, now it's your turn.
Amen.
I was saving it all up because I knew. See, God can see way down the road. He can see way down the road. So when all when you're doing and you're being and you're giving, it's okay, God. God is not done and he's not asleep. His eyes are not closed. The Bible says he's nor does he slumber, nor is he sleep. His eyes are wide open. And he sees, he said, I got you. He said, you just do everything that you do, everything that you are, you do it with love. Because at the very time you need it, it's going to be
thank you, Jesus.
You're talking about, you know, that's why they say showers of blessing.
Yeah,
because
amen.
When God bless, it's like a shower.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So if you only get just one little thing and you don't get nothing out, just one drop, that ain't God. I don't know what that is. But God, he showers of blessing. He's a God of abundance.
Yeah.
He's a God of more than enough.
Amen.
He is. So don't be weary in your well-doing.
Amen.
For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen? He said, give and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall he what? Shall who?
Amen.
Shall what?
Amen.
He said, shake no tree, the money come off. He said, he'll move on the hearts of men. He will move on the hearts of men. Yeah, give that child a $100,000 scholarship so she can go to school.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Don't even know who she is. What? $100,000? Yup, $100,000. Scholarship to go to school. Might say free.
Free.
Honey, free. Don't let the devil. Somebody paid a price for that. You pay a price with your faith. You pay a price with your faith. Nothing is free.
Amen.
Mom, we doing this for you free? No, you're not. I've been living right and serving the Lord and paying my tithes, and this is my reward. What you talking about? It ain't free. I work for this with my faith, huh?
Amen.
Faith without works is dead.
Amen.
Work your faith.
Amen.
God's got you.
Yes.
I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about living.
Right. Amen.
Living. Giving. Give up your time of your gifting. I don't have nothing to give. Well, you can pray for 2 hours.
Amen.
Somebody
Amen.
Beside yourself.
Amen.
Huh? You're poor no more. You can pray for somebody else. Said, Lord, this whole hour, all I'm going to do is intercede for the children.
Amen.
This whole hour, I'm going to give this. So, you know what? If you put a price tag on that, somebody say priceless.
Right.
Come on now.
Amen.
I'm going to pray for all the missionaries on the foreign field.
Amen.
I'm going to spend 2 days. I got 2 days off. It's a holiday, 4th of July weekend. Girl, what you doing? Nothing. You can do something. Now, come on, 4th of July weekend. We got something. We got off, right? What you doing? Nothing. Well, I got something for you to do. Can you pray for 2 days?
Amen.
For all the missionaries on the foreign field.
Hallelujah.
Who are giving
Amen.
Their lives
Amen.
for the sake
yes.
of the gospel. So that the gospel can be preached to every nation, so that people can be saved. Prayer, I need somebody else to pray for the underground church.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
And guess what? And while
yeah.
you're praying for them, God is hooking you up. He got Amen. Somebody interceding on your behalf.
Amen.
Huh? That frees you up. Jesus, the scripture said that Jesus is praying for you. He said he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's given effort to make intercession for you.
Yes.
Right? So while Jesus is praying for you, that frees you up to pray for somebody else. Somebody say
giving.
See, that's a true worshiper. That is the life of a true worshiper. Whose intercession can go for others. Who can labor in prayer and in groanings for others that are hurting and going through. You might be hurting yourself. And that's why you're hurting. Because you holding all your hurting. Give that to Jesus.
Amen.
And pray for somebody else who's hurting. Is that all right? I've tried it. I've been hurt many a day. My heart has ached many a day. But I gave all that was hurting in my heart to the Lord.
Amen.
And I felt better, and it freed me up to begin to intercede for others who are hurting. Amen?
Amen.
And God was healing me and healing them too. It's a win-win situation.
Amen.
It's a win-win situation. Is that all right? Somebody say give.
Give.
Amen? That's what it's all about. That's the life of a true worshiper. The next scripture.
Second Corinthians 9:7.
Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Somebody have me amplified? Get it from me real quick.
Yes.
Every man according as he purposed in his heart.
Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift.
Right? As you purpose in your heart, don't ever let any prophet, teacher, pastor, grandson, don't let nobody put you under a compulsion to give.
Amen. Amen.
Don't. Do not. The word of God says, as a man purpose in his heart, let him give.
Right.
So, if a quote-unquote man or woman of God say, I need everybody to get $100, put it in here, put your mortgage payment, whatever, blah, 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 put it in here and give it to, you know.
Amen.
And because we honor, you know, and we do it, are we blessed?
No.
Nope. Because you gave under compulsion. And some of you had attitude when you did it because you didn't want to give it. Some of you didn't have to give whatever it is. Whatever. He said, as a man purposed in his heart, let him give. Do you know giving is worship?
Amen.
That's why I like to turn the music on when we give. When people start acting, get all attitudes, I say, why are your face tore up? What? Giving is worship.
Yeah. Sure
and
is.
He wants us to give it cheerfully. That's why I'm like, I said, why y'all sitting here? Like, do you know what this is? Giving is worship. We're supposed to be joyful and excited when we're giving love because we have to give.
Yeah.
And guess what? In this envelope, I find a lot of money balled up. And most of the time, you know, if it's a $100 bill, it's stretched out. If it's $2, it's balled up. I be like, what are you going out for? Don't do that. Stretch your dollar bill out.
That's right. That's right.
Huh? Get your quarter and put it in the envelope.
Yes.
It's all right. Grocery store or any establishment that accepts cash, I don't give the cashier no balled up. You stretch it out and hand it to me. Why you gonna ball up your money and put it in the envelope? Now the next person do, I'm gonna rebuke you. I'm gonna say, this. I don't want to do that, but I'm just trying to help you out. You know, but don't do that to God. Don't do that. Stretch your money out. If it's a dollar, write $1, $1. Thank you, Jesus. Because you couldn't have no dollar.
That's right.
And if that's all you got, God, let me tell you, he will honor that dollar quicker than he'll honor the $100 that was in there. Come on. Whatever you have, if it's in your heart to give into the kingdom so that the kingdom can go further, thank you, Jesus. Write your name. Some people don't write their name in the envelope because they put a dollar in it, but put a hundred in there. They be writing big bold letters. 852 dollars. And the letter, I'm like, I can see it. I mean, gosh, my God. Come on now, why with me? No, that's funny, but it's true. You know, I mean, whatever it is, guess what? God honors it. He honors whatever you give. Somebody say giving.
Yeah.
And it's a part of worship.
Yes.
You should not be preparing your offering at church. Your tithe at church. Your offering you can, not your tithe. You know what your tithe is. You have already, when you get paid, you set that before the Lord.
Right.
And it should be a worship service when you do it.
Amen.
You should be, okay, time to pay my tithe. No, you should be, Father, I think you ought to have an offering song that you sing when you're writing your check. Thank you, God. The first fruits of all my increase I give to you. Whatever it is. You babysat, somebody gave you $10, put your dollar in the offer, stop playing. Come on and say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Give it to the Lord, and guess what? He will blow on it.
Yes, he will. Yes,
see, it's about how you give. It's not the amount. It's the attitude of what you've given it. It's not that. We ain't mad at you if you don't give. Look, I don't care if you don't give. That's between you and God. How's that working out for you? That's all I got to say. Hey, he's been giving it. Y'all been giving up to you. Good measure, huh? That's between you and God. Whatever you want to do, you do that. But you make sure your attitude is right. Make sure your heart is in everything that you give. Whether it's service, whether it's your time, whether it's your prayer, whether it's your finances, make sure your heart is pure.
Amen.
That's what God honors. That's what he honors. That's what he loves. And he loves, he said, for God loves what?
A cheerful giver.
Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Stand up and clap when the song is on. Sitting there going, come on. That y'all won't be doing right. Come on now. Come on, let's begin to act like true worshipers.
Amen.
Let's be who we are.
Amen.
Let's be who we are. This is what the word commands us. I'm not doing no pep talk. I'm telling you what the word of God says.
Amen.
He commands us to do this. Amen.
Amen.
He said, love the cheerful giver. Exodus chapter 35, verse 4. Exodus 35, verse 4. I just want to show you in this verse of scripture the heart of God, the heart of the Father. Exodus 35, 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Who's talking?
Moses.
No, he's not. God. God is giving Moses instructions. Right? God, he said, and which the Lord commanded, saying, this is the Lord. The Lord told him what to do. He said, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. And whosoever is of a what?
Willing
heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass, and blue, and purple. And white. In other words, he was saying whatever you had. Huh? Some people had silver, some people had gold. Some people had scarlet, you know, some people had certain things, but whatever you have. He said, but the only way that you can give it is if you're willing. You have to have a willing heart. And this is what God commanded for the people to do. See, this tells you the heart of God. Your heart has to be willing. It has to be a willing heart. You got to be glad about it. Willing. This is God. This is his heart.
Yeah.
And when you're willing, oh, God loves it so much. Whatever it is that you do, whatever it is that you give, if you're willing, go, I'm just doing this because I'm on a schedule this week. Oh, it's my turn to get home, my turn to be the greeter. Oh, I got parking lot duty this week. Oh, okay. You know, no, say, whoa, this is my turn to serve. I'm excited. I'm excited. It's my turn. It's my turn. How many people wake up going, it's my turn? It's my turn to serve.
I believe you, Eric.
He's happy. Eric, I appreciate you. Thank you. I do. And he does it from his heart. And see, and that's when you say, well, it's my turn. You know, okay, God, what are you going to do today? What are you going to use me to do today? See, you got to see, this is the heart of a true worshiper.
Amen.
His heart is in it. He's in it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
We're in it to win it. We're not losing.
Amen.
Huh? We're in this thing to win.
Yes,
sir. When Gabriel blows a trumpet, we're out of here.
Yes.
First place.
Yes.
What? We're getting out of here.
Yes.
We're going to get our reward.
Yeah.
We've got to do well down here.
Yeah.
We can't be faking the funk, as they say. Can't be going through the motion. Huh? No. She laughs. She's never heard that. Some people can be so grateful, and then some people go through a lot and they can be embittered. But be careful that that's not you.
Right.
Whatever it is that you go through, that's okay. Letitia ministered to us on Wednesday night. She said, that's a part of our journey.
Right.
God had us to go that way for a reason. Right. It's okay. He's got us. Amen. Amen. You're still alive. You're still breathing. Amen.
Amen.
You still got all your faculties. You're good. Amen.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
So we got that. So we got giving. We got living. Loving. 1 John 4:12. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 and Romans 13:8.
Can you repeat that, please?
I will. Under your loving, 1 John 4:12, 1 Thessalonians 4:9, Romans 13:8. And under your serving column, put Colossians 3:21.
Can you repeat the loving verses again?
Loving is 1 John 4:12. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 and Romans 13:8. That's under loving. 13:8, right.
Serving again.
And under serving, Colossians 3:21. Okay. We're done in a few minutes. Okay, can somebody get 1 John 4:12? Somebody get 1 Thessalonians 4:9. And Romans 13:8. Okay, what do you got? What do you have, Danielle?
Romans 13:8.
It says what?
It says, owe no man anything but to love one another.
Right. So that means we ought to be, oh, nobody, no apologies, right?
Right.
He said, oh, no man, nothing but the love. He said, I'm sorry. And so somebody say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
You shouldn't be owing anybody any apologies.
Right.
So now, instead of, huh?
No, I'm
instead of saying, and you know, so this is what you think. Don't be sorry. Say your name. Say, Lee Marie, don't be sorry. That's right. Don't be sorry. Do better.
Sorry.
That's what I say to people. They say, "Don't pass me. I'm sorry. Don't be sorry. Do better. Keep you sorry. Keep you sorry because the Word of God tells us to owe no man nothing but to love him. So we don't owe apologies. That means if we don't owe any apologies, we got to do better. And if we do, and that way, if we're doing better, then we won't have to do it. But you know, so we get better and better, and that way we won't have to be, you know, saying I'm sorry for stuff that we did wrong. You know, that's just, you know, that's the life of the true worshiper. That, you know what that is? The less we have to apologize, the more mature we get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a sign of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you used to have to apologize for, you don't have to apologize anymore because you're getting better. Well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have called you that name. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you're mature and you're getting better, you know, that's what I said. Don't be sorry, do better. I'm sorry. No. Keep you sorry and do better. You know, that's what, oh, no man, nothing but to love him. We ought to love one another. God say, Lord, put your hand on your heart.
Lord,
help me to love.
Help me to love.
Love. Better and better.
Love others.
Love myself.
Amen.
Right? All right, that's good for you. Next scripture.
1 John 4:12,
mm-hmm.
No man has seen God at any time.
Mm-hmm.
If we love one another,
mm-hmm.
God dwelleth in us,
mm-hmm.
and his love is perfected in us.
So if we're hating on folks, is the love of Jesus in us?
No.
Then what you lying for? What in the world? Okay. Mm-hmm. So don't tell a lie. Worshippers don't lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that we love one another. That means we have to make room for each other when they error.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to shoot them down and cut them off. You know, we don't have to do that, do we?
No.
You know, if you want to be forgiven, you forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Love one another. Love. That means love is an action word. Don't tell somebody you love them and they can't see nothing you love them about. You know, never do nothing for them. I love you. No, you don't. Then you love somebody, you know, do something. Your love should, you know, you need a life that shows. You gotta, you know, let your love show. Let your love shine. I don't like funerals. People be getting up there saying all this stuff, and I be wanting to go. I'm gonna be wanting to go. Oh, come on.
Yes.
Sit down. You ain't said all that. You ain't said all that. like, I be wanting to hold up my coach's finger and get walk out the church and be making me mad. Because I, you know, some of them I know, I be looking up there going, you prayed, Lord, and you did that. They can't hear nothing you saying right now. Huh? No, if you really, if it's all of that, then you do it. Give people smell flowers while they're living.
Amen.
Love people, because guess what? You may not see them again.
That's right.
You never know. You never know. If you got something to give them, give it to them. Yeah. Well, I'm going to wait because, you know, because they was acting up today. They had an attitude. No, guess what? If you were to give it to them, they might just burn their heart.
Right. That's right.
You know, you have no idea what your love does to people, right? You have no idea. Love is so powerful.
Yes.
It's a powerful weapon,
yes,
and it's a powerful tool. People are mean, just love them. Just love the hell out of them. Because that's what they feel like. Just love the hell out of them. That's what's wrong with them. Full of hell. Love the hell out of them.
Yeah.
Love them. Love them. Till they just can't stand it. That's what we do. That's what Jesus did for us, didn't he? He loved the hell out of us. That's why we're saved.
Yeah.
We're saved today. Because he loved the hell out of us, and now we're going to heaven. How about that?
Yeah.
Do you know he commands us to do the same? You're not exempt. If Jesus had to do it, where do you think you're going? You have to do it too. We're commanded to love. We ought to love one another. What's the next scripture?
1 Thessalonians 4:9.
Uh-huh. And it says,
but as touching brotherly love,
uh-huh,
ye heed not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another.
Okay. So I like that scripture because someone said, well, nobody ever taught me, and, you know, I don't know how to do. Yes, you do. We've been taught of who?
God.
God. Who's our first teacher?
God.
Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus. He showed us how to love. And his 4 years, his 33 years on the earth, he demonstrated how to love. He said, this is how you do this.
Yes.
This is how you do this. Love those. Pray for love. Pray for. What did he say? Do good. And there's four. It's four of them. That's like this one. Bless those who curse you. People curse you out. Why are you cursing back at them? What you doing? You're supposed to be. Come on. You're supposed to be a true worshiper. You don't cuss. And that cuss more than they did. They said two cuss words. You said four. They not say. You're supposed to be saying. What you doing? For real, I've seen this. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. You know, we're true worshipers. We don't curse. We bless.
Right.
Right. We bless. Somebody who cursed you up. Did you ever buy them a gift after they did it? No, you done cut them off. Walked away. You like, I'm done with you. But no, what we should do is to say, Lord, I need for you. Holy Ghost, I need for you to show me how to bless this person.
Amen.
How many of us do that? Oh, that's right. The true worshipers do that. Say, Lord, Holy Ghost, I'm a need for you to show me how to bless this person. Show me how to be a blessing to them. They offended. They hurt me. They hurt my family. They did this to my child. Just bless them. Said, Lord, show me how to be a blessing. Lord, show me. Tell me what to do. I need the perfect thing, Lord. Put it in my heart. Give me like this great idea what I can do. This is how. That's the mindset of a true worshiper.
Amen.
Said, Lord, just show me what to do. And see, you know, these are the character traits of a true worshiper. This is how we behave. This is how we think.
Amen.
This is our lives.
Amen.
So we got to get out of our own mindsets. We got to stop all of that.
Amen.
I got a text message from a young girl that I grew up with up in New York. She sent me a text message and said, can you call my mother and talk to her? I hadn't seen her talk to her mother in over 10 years. And I was like, as soon as I saw the message, I said, sure, I called her. And she said, I said, hello. And she said, who is this? And I told her who I was. She said, oh, hi, how are you? I said, I'm doing well, how are you? She started crying. She said, I'm not doing so good. She said, my daughter told you to call me, didn't she? I said, mm-hmm. She did. And she said, well, she gave me your number and told me to call you, but I felt like I didn't want to call you because I haven't seen or talked to you, and I didn't know how you was going to feel if I called you and dumped all my problems on you and just told you what was on you. I didn't know how you was going to feel. I said, well, how do you think? I said, wait a minute. I said, are you a child of God? She said, yeah. I said, do you know me as a child of God? She said, yes. I said, well, then what are you talking about? I said, what does time and space right. got to do with our love, though?
Right. Right.
I said, what's your problem? And I did, you know, I said, what's your problem? I did, I took it before we got anywhere. So, I mean, you just got to clean up the milk where it spilled at. You know, you just got to deal with stuff of what it is, because people got these wrong. I think, you know, we got to kill, and the only way someone is to kill that stuff, that's why the word of God is for what?
Correct.
For correction, for reproof, for rebuke, and sometimes we just gotta correct people. They out of order. Like, what you talking about? I said, you a child of God, right? Yeah, so I'm a child of God. I said, then what does that have to do with? Because you haven't talked to me or seen me in 10 years. And whatever it is that you know, whatever how you feeling, that's on your side of the fence, not on mine.
Right.
I don't have a problem. Now, if you got a problem, that's between you and God, but not on me. I said, now what's your problem? Can I help? How can I serve you? What can I do for you? And I just ministered to her and prayed with her and encouraged her. I said, I'm going to send you something in the mail. I said, I want you to call me when you get it, okay? So I started talking to the Lord. I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to put in this package that I'm going to send to her? How, what would be the most effective thing that I can do with to help her in her time of need. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? That's what this is about. This is a life of a true worshiper. This is how we do. This is how we ought to live. Mm-hmm. This is our life. Mm-hmm. Amen? This is our life. Mm-hmm. Can you read the verse again, please?
Yes. It is 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9. It says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God.
We're taught of God. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't see his life as his own. He laid it down for all that we may be saved. Do you know, unless you lay your life down, some folk aren't going to get saved, and their blood is going to be on your hand, dripping from your hand when you stand before the judgment seat. You're going to have to answer. Do you understand that? Yeah. Do you understand that? We're responsible. Some people aren't coming to church.
Right.
Especially to a house church. They'd be like, what? I'm doing that? What's that? They ain't going to do that. You're the only Jesus and the only church that they're going to ever know or see. You're it. And sometimes you only have one time to make
that's
a
right.
first impression, mm-hmm. and that be your only impression.
Mm-hmm.
But that impression will be on their heart.
Yeah.
You remember when we were reading the scripture this morning and Jesus said, you have, you reap where you have not
sown.
There have been people that have sown seeds. They've been talking to this person and talking to this person about Jesus and they wouldn't budge. You come along and water it and bam, they get saved. You're going to reap a harvest where you had planted it. Somebody dug, they got dug and dug up that foul ground, and you walk in and go, bam, you're like, yeah, and that wasn't your labor, that was somebody else's. You understand? But nevertheless, you have your part. The word of God says one plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. But still, you got a part, whether you're the planter or the water, huh?
That's right.
Whether you want digging up the foul ground, or whether you want just going, you know, just hold the water pot, you know, whatever, which one you are, and we are both, you know, and at different times and different seasons, depends. Amen?
Amen?
But that's what love does. That's what love does. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. What is the last column?
Serving.
Oh, man, there's a lot of service scriptures, but I just want to touch on this one, because I know we'd be here for 2 hours. So I said, let me just get one, and then I won't be you know, 1 Corinthians 3:21. Now, I think it's good.
Colossians 3:21. You determined to go to that 1 Corinthians.
I know. It must be something
there,
right?
I gotta
look at that later. Colossians 3:21. And then what does it say, Pastor Larry?
Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God.
Mm-hmm. Right, keep on.
And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ.
Go ahead.
But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons.
I like the latter part of verse 25. It says, for there is no respect of person. I don't care who you are.
Amen.
If you're the prophet, the priest, if you're doing wrong, you're going to get jacked up. It don't matter who you are, huh? What office you stand in, what title you got, what letters is behind your name, it don't matter. God doesn't have any respect of person. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord. You're not here to please people, huh?
Amen.
If we pleased everybody, we wouldn't have nowhere to sit in this room. A lot of folk got up and walked out. I said, go right ahead, because I can't please. I've got to preach the word. If the devil come up in here, he got two options. He either going to get saved or he going to leave. Pick which one you want, because we ain't having it up in here. Amen.
Amen.
We are true worshipers in here.
Amen.
If we're not, we're on our way to being it. We working it out, huh?
Yes.
We working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so we're not to be not with eye service, just as men please. We just want to see want people to see what we're doing. You know, we just want to be recognized. We want to be seen of men. When your name called, want somebody to recognize us or something, that is not it. Huh?
Come up to the front.
Yeah, I said coming up to the front. A pastor from Brazil. He was from Brazil. He pastors a big church in Brazil, and the young people in his church wanted to start the church of advanced ministry. I told you about that, right? And so he said no. He said because, you know, they don't have a relationship with God. They just want to put on them dresses and stuff and just kick their legs up and swing around and all that. But they don't really have a relationship with God. And he was like, no, you're not doing that. No. And so they got upset and they kept coming back to the pastor. And then the parents started coming to the pastor. He said, okay. He said, okay, y'all go ahead. And so when they came, they went and bought all this stuff, you know, the dresses with the leotard underneath and all that, turning around, twirling. And so they started marching up to the front. He said, y'all take all that back there. And he had a big, huge, you know, big church. He said, y'all take all that back there. Back, take it all the way in the back. And they got mad. He said, well, if you're dancing to the Lord, what you mad for?
He said,
see, that's why, that's it. Here you go. Sit down. Nobody can see you. See, nobody can see you. So you was doing it because you want to be seen. You know? I was a see. And see, we're not here to please men. This is not Showtime at the Apollo. We're not here to perform. Amen? We're not here to perform. No, this is real. True worshipers don't perform. They worship.
Amen.
Worship is unto God.
Amen.
It's unto God. And our worship must be pure. Amen? And so the scripture admonishes us and tells us these things. And then, where is it? It says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily. What does that mean?
With all your strength.
Heartily, all your heart. I mean, just take your whole heart and just throw it at Jesus. Everything. Do it heartily unto the Lord. Take your whole heart and throw it at Jesus. for you. My life is for you. My love is for you. My worship is for you, God. It's all for you.
Amen.
I'm not here to be seen. I'm here to bless your name and glorify you and thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing right now, and all that you will do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He said, yeah, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive a reward of your inheritance. God has a reward. We ain't doing all this for nothing. He's just going to bless us here, and then we get to heaven. He's going to bless us again. Amen?
Ooh, yes.
Eternally, forever. It says, but he that doeth wrong. Worshipper, true worshipers, we don't do wrong. And even when we do as true worshipers, what do we do?
Repent.
What is repent? It has two parts.
Change your mind.
Change your mind. That means if you messed up one time, you messed up, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. And see, and what when we say change your mind, this is how you change your mind. You find out the root of that of what caused you to do that thing. What made me do that? What caused me to fornicate? What caused me to tell that lie? Why did I do that? Was it because I was trying to be accepted? Was it because I was, you know, I gave into my vulnerability? Was it that, you know, what made me steal that thing? You know, was I afraid that I wasn't going to, you know, go to the root. See, once you go to the root and you find out, then you have to change your mind. You go, oh, okay, that's what made me do that. Okay, I got that. I ain't doing that no more. Okay, I see what that is. See, repentance has two parts. Change your mind, and then once you change your mind, you do an about, but you get up out of there. Say, I'm not going to be found in this place, and then you turn around. You turn around. You turn. Repent, if you look in the Webster's Dictionary, it means to turn away from.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? It means to turn around. Change your mind first, because if you don't change your mind and you don't change your mind and you turn around, guess what? Because you didn't change your mind, you're going to go right back and do it again because you haven't changed your mind about it. You go, wait a minute, that's not right, and this is why it's not right. And this is what's going to happen if I keep doing it, huh? And then you come to an understanding, huh? You come to a spiritual understanding, which is a what? Holy conviction.
Yes.
And then your mind is changing. You'll be delivered and set free.
Yeah.
And even when the devil comes to you, he can't find nothing in you. He can find nothing in you. Jesus said, Satan come to me, he finds nothing in me. Why? Because his mind was just made up. Got to made up mind to serve him. Amen? Got a made up mind. Amen? That's it. That's the heart of a true worshiper. And he says that the he who doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he have done. Will receive for the wrong which he have done. And guess what? You don't want to see what it is. It's hot, and it burns, and it don't stop burning. So you don't want woo! And they ain't got no anointing cream down there. Ain't got no burn cream. They ain't got no burn unit. They ain't got no burn unit in hell. They don't know how to get you know, you go to the unit. Have anybody been to the burn unit down at John Hopkins? I was like, I almost passed out. I was like, oh, what did I come up in here for? The Lord said, see, you need to see that. That's good for you. You need to see that. People that have been burning on the fire and they have to be in a chamber thing. Anyway, they ain't got no burn units in hell. Everybody's in
fire.
And he said, those who do wrong will receive for the wrong that they've done. Some people think that scripture is just about, you know, at the end of the world.
Right.
But really, it's both places. It's here and there.
Yes.
Because if the reward is for here and there, then the punishment is for here and there.
Right.
That means you gonna get it right here. Your life gonna be in shambles. It's gonna be jacked up for the wrong that you do. But true worshipers, we don't live wrong lives, do we? No. And even when we're wrong, we make it a right, quick, fast, and in a hurry, aren't we?
Yeah.
Why? Because our hearts are to please the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody say quick, fast,
quick, fast,
and in a hurry.
In a hurry.
And that's less than 5 minutes. I just want you to know. Come on now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Does that work good for you?
Amen.
Does it help you?
Yes.
So the true worshiper, right?
Amen.
The true worshiper, what is your assignment? You got four columns. You got what?
Love
and serve. Right? I want you to study those out. I want you to brood over this word. And you are to brood over 1 John 4:21, right, Emily? John 4:23. You know what I'm talking about. John 4:23 and 24. Amen.
Amen.
You have to brood over that. So you got your assignment. I just want you to know July is rest month. July is rest month at the healer's house. So this is what rest month means. It means that the pastors take out 1 month of the year to rest. So we will not be preaching. You won't hear our mouths. You might hear me say, Jesus, in worship. Hallelujah, I might say that. But we won't be, we will not, Pastor Larry and I will not be ministering in this room or in the other room over here. We will be resting.
Amen.
We might not even be here. I'm telling
Amen.
You, we're praying to you right now.
Amen.
Amen.
We will be resting this month because we give out a lot.
Yep. Yes,
we don't just pastor the people in this room, but
right.
and people who come from other ministries, other churches. We pastor and minister and we teach and serve in the state of New York and in the state of Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
We have a lot going on, and God is on the move in a mighty way.
Amen.
But the mighty needs some rest. We need some rest. I'm mighty to serve. We're mighty to serve the people, but the mighty need. We might need the rest. Amen.
Amen.
Even God rested. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to be resting. We won't be preaching. But we will have some preaching going on, but